Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this opportunity to talk to our brethren, share some wonderful testimonies that you have done for them, to be a witness unto them. And we love you, Lord, and we ask for greater, mightier, and many more miracles for your people, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. So much, Father. And I'm here with Michael Hare, David Eels, and Michael Hare. Since we're both witnesses of almost all of these, we thought it'd be good to do a single broadcast with us both together, because we got one brain here, you know.
One full brain.
So we're going to share some testimonies with you. Lord bless you, saints. Well, we thought about that 10-inch snow we had, which was a record for us. We've been here, I think, 7 years, and it's the only kind of snow like that we've had. 1 6-incher before that. We had a 10-inch snow here, which we like. We don't want them to be more frequent than that. for really good reasons. You know, we live on the top of this mountain, and snow turns to ice, and boy, I tell you, you can slide all the way down this mountain. Anyway, we had a 10-inch snow one time, and we were kind of froze in, and we decided we were going to get out and go do some things we needed to do. So we walked out to the truck, and on the way to the truck, I prayed a prayer with Michael there. I said, Lord, we ask you to let no dents come in this truck today. And so we walked out and got in the truck, and we went down our driveway, which is a long driveway. And, of course, once you drive over it, it packs down, and then it turns to ice, and then the second time you have to be more careful. So anyway, we were going down the driveway, and with two wheels in the rough, and two on the driveway, because we did not trust the driveway. It's very steep. And so our vehicle was kind of shimmying back and forth. You know, the left side would slide, and the right side would grab, and then they'd, you know, went back and forth. We were kind of wobbling as we went down. But we made it down, which is the important thing. And then we went on over to the cell tower hill, which is a hill that's just like that one. Except maybe steeper, wouldn't you say, Michael?
Mm-hmm. Coming up that, yeah.
Yeah, Cell Tower Hill, we call it that, because there's a cell tower sitting right there on top of it. And so we decided to very carefully try to make our way down, because we looked over to the right, and there was a car down, pointed straight down with the bumper straight up, down in a gully.
Yeah, the back bumper on the ground, front bumper sticking straight up in there.
Yeah. And, of course, that gave us a warning that we better be careful, but we knew we had Jesus with us, you know. That doesn't mean Jesus will get you out of all tribulations, right, Michael?
That's right.
So we knew we had Jesus with us, you know, and we were kind of inching our way down and being very careful, and we got about halfway down, and we saw a guy from the other side, the bottom side of the hill, making a run at the hill with his four-wheel drive pickup truck. And, of course, he saw us inching our way down, and he backed off and parked his truck and walked up there while we were inching our way down very carefully, you know. So he looked in our window, and he said, you got four-wheel drive? Michael said, no. He said, well, you're going to end up in that hole right down there. That's exactly where I was just pulled out of. And he turned around and walked back down the hill. We both said, no, we don't want that. We ain't going to accept that.
In the name of Jesus, we ain't going to do that.
We don't want to do that today. So we did. We made it out by the grace of God, you know. But, again, every time a car runs over it one time and packs the snow down, that's ice. It becomes ice from then on. So we made it out. We went and did our thing. and got done what we needed to get done, and we came back, and we saw a really bad sign. Right, Michael?
Yeah, four-wheel drive was parked out there by the highway.
Yeah, and so a bunch of other cars, too.
A bunch of other cars were, too.
So we knew, okay, they didn't think they could make it. But we thought, well, we got God. We can make it.
Amen.
Right? Okay, well, we didn't know what God had planned for the day, but he was going to prove my prayer earlier in the day. That's for sure. So this thing, it's like this. When you come down the road, leaving off the highway, it goes down in this dip. And then it takes a sharp turn onto our road going up to the left by the cell tower. And there's a curve right there as you turn onto our road, so you can't really see who's coming the other way. Mm-hmm. So we decided that we would do this. I would get out. I'd walk down there, get in the curve, because I could see both ways that way, and I would flag Michael, and he'd come barreling through there and get a run.
Yeah, I'm on top of the hill before the Y.
He's on the top of the hill, and he's headed down in the hole. So I gave him a flag to go, you know, and so he come barreling through there, you know, and hit the road that takes a left turn and goes up, and did real good. It was all real good. Except he got about two-thirds of the way up, and he wouldn't go any further, right, Michael?
That stopped. We were stopped. And David came walking up there, and he said, what's wrong? I said, well, get in. We're going to try it again. Well, David said, afterwards, he said, I shouldn't have done that.
Shouldn't
but anyway, he got in, and I had the brakes on. At 1 foot on the brake, and I let off the brake and eased on the accelerator. Instead of going forward, though, we went backwards.
Immediately.
We started going backwards, and I grabbed a hold of the steering wheel with both hands. And we were both praying at that time, Lord, we're at our weakest. You got to show yourself strong, because we ain't got no control over this truck. That truck was absolutely doing everything it wanted to do,
yeah.
Other than what we wanted to do. Well, when we were coming up, there's a car parked coming up the hill there on the right side of the road, and the other car that was in the ditch was on the left side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
But the car on the right was right up on the road. And so we're going down through there. We're going sideways. We kind of turned sideways going. We're taking up the whole road.
The whole road.
Going down the hill. And we're praying the whole time, Lord, thank you for getting this thing straight and stopped. And David said, there's a car coming up. He said, there's a car. We're going to hit that car. I said, I know we're going to hit the car. I'm looking at the cliff back there. And then I see the cliff back there behind us, and it's a steep drop-off, probably 7, 8, 10 feet, straight down. And I said, oh, we don't want to hit that. And we're praying.
And then there's a bunch of trees down there, too. There's eight or 10 feet down, and then a bunch of trees, and then a highway down further.
Oh, it would have totaled the truck.
Yeah, it would have totaled.
And anyway, we kept sliding down through. We went by the car. Now, you saw that part.
Well, I was looking out the windshield. Michael was looking out the side, and I was looking out the windshield, looking straight towards the direction of where the car was. And I thought I saw what I said. I did not see that. I thought I saw the car go through the front end of our truck. And I didn't see that. Anyway, we slid on down, still praying, commanding the truck to stop in the name of Jesus all the way. And you know what? We switched back around with the front of the truck looking up the hill, and now the bumper was going towards the cliff, you know? And as soon as it stopped, which I didn't see any reason for it to stop.
No reason
for it to stop before it went right on off of that cliff. Naturally speaking, there was no reason for it to stop. So anyway, the truck stopped. And, well, I jumped out and ran around there and looked at the rear tire. And, how the tire's round, but it touches the road at a certain point. And where it touched the road in the back, there was maybe a half inch to the edge of the cliff. I said, Michael, you need to come see this, man. Come look at this. He said, I'm not turning loose of this wheel. He was glued to that wheel, you know.
I said, I can't get my hands off the steering wheel. People have to do it.
So I grabbed a 2x4 out of the back of the truck, and Michael would jog it a little bit forward, just a little bit, and I'd throw the 2x4 behind there, because we were headed towards a driveway that was right there in the curve where it turned and went up towards the cell tower. And if we could get it in that driveway, we was going to park it, and that's what we did. We finally inched our way over there, chalking it, moving it, chalking it, moving it.
It took a while, but we got over
there. It took a while, but we got over there, and we parked it, and we walked home. Well, on the way up the hill, as we walked by the car, we looked down at our tracks because they were the only tracks on that side of the road, and the tracks were right next to the car. Yep. Now, think about this. Your bumper on that truck is hanging over a couple of feet past the tires. But we're looking at the tire that slid sideways by the car. The track is there. There's only one track there, and it's right next to the car. That meant we had a couple of feet sticking out up into that car. I said, Michael, look at this. Look.
It looked as though the front of the truck went all the way through the car. The length of the car.
There is absolutely no doubt about it. There's no place else for it to go. It went right through the car. But we didn't get a dent in that truck that day.
No.
Exactly what we prayed, you know. I should have prayed, well, we won't slide down this hill. But the Lord wanted to show us that He could handle that. That wasn't the only time we've had cars go through cars over here.
No.
We had a couple of sisters that witnessed that a car drove right through the front of their car, and they didn't have no insurance. And they were both looking at it, right, Michael?
They were both looking at it, and they got to doubt themselves afterwards about it, and the Lord showed one of them a vision exactly with her up over the top of the thing, showing them what had happened, and that the car actually went through the whole front end of their car.
Awesome.
Another car did.
Awesome.
And all the way through.
That was Sandy Shaw.
Sandy Shaw. As if they weren't even there.
And another sister, right. As if they weren't there.
Amen.
So, you know, hallelujah. God is a great Savior. He can save you anywhere. You know, He can stop a car from sliding down an icy hill.
Yeah,
and, you know, it's just awesome. Well, you know, that gave us an idea. Because we don't like ice on our hills over here.
obviously.
So we got the idea. You tell them, Michael, about the snowstorm that was coming at us.
Yeah, one night I was looking at the weather radar, and I saw this tremendous snowstorm headed our way. And it stretched from the Gulf Coast all the way up to Indiana, up above in that area somewhere. And as far as north and south, east and west, it went from the west side of Nashville all the way to Oak Ridge, which is a couple of hundred miles. It was a couple of hundred miles wide, and I don't know how long it was.
And it was solid as it could be.
It was solid blue all the way across that thing. And I hollered to David. I said, man, we've got a massive snowstorm headed our way. And they were predicted 10, 15 inches of snow, you know, in this area. 10 to 14 inches, I believe, is what they said. And David said, let's pray it out of here. So that's what we did. David prayed. I prayed and I agreed with him that snowstorm was going to split and go around us and not affect us at all. You know what happened? Just a few minutes later, I looked on the radar, And I hollered at David. I said, you got to see this. This thing is splitting. And it was. It split, and it went around us. Everybody around us got the big snow. We got a dusting. Barely a dusting.
Which doesn't, it doesn't land on blacktop. It don't stay there. It's gone.
No, it's gone. It's gone. And that was amazing. That great big blizzard split around our...
just as it got to us.
Just as it got to us, and it went around us and closed back again, and we were the only ones that didn't get any snow. That was amazing.
And we did this many, many times. I did it down in Pensacola quite a few times, stopping storms and spreading them around, moving a hurricane so it went all the way around us, came up towards us, turned around, went all the way around us, and took off again behind us. Now, you know, it was very obvious. I said, I got an angel in that front yard. That storm's not coming here. You know what? It didn't. It hit that beach, took a right turn, took a left turn after it went down the beach a ways, and then took a left turn again, came in behind us, and then took off north again. It was awesome. But, you know, well, this encouraged us. So we decided, okay, we're going to make a habit out of this.
We did that so many times that the kids would call us and say, don't be praying no snow. We want snow. We want snow. You know, they would. So we quit. They'd get a little snow down there, which is fine.
Yeah, but we had many a rainstorm that we split.
Oh, yeah.
And commanded it to go around us.
Absolutely.
And they obeyed, and many a snowstorm. And God's just awesome. You know, he's just awesome.
We'd have something planned for outside, and they'd call for rain, and we'd pray against that rain. It wouldn't rain. It'd be 80 or 90% chance of rain. It would not rain on our picnics or whatever it was that we had out there.
Amen. Well, we had some other things that were peculiar to our area. We live on a mountain that is full of rocks, and the rocks are full of iron ore or iron oxide. And this mountain was famous. I say was. It was famous for lightning strikes. I've actually been standing out on the back deck with Brother Greg one time when, no warning whatsoever, a lightning ball came out of a rock. We were almost at the very top of the mountain, but there's just a little bit further. Goes up just a few more feet.
Another 50 foot.
Yeah, another 50 foot. And a lightning ball came out of a rock while we were looking over there at the base of a pine tree. Just a lightning ball came out of there. Now, where did that come from? Because it didn't hit anywhere around us. Well, it went through the rocks. And we realized, because when you walk up on top of the mountain and walk down the ridge, you can see many trees up there that have the lightning strike that burns the
it's got a scar all the way
up. Got a scar all the way down the side of it, you know, yeah. And you know it's been hit by lightning. Some of them heal over and they keep on growing. Some of them die, and we got firewood. So, yeah, either way, you know. But so, first of all, we like our trees, mm-hmm. and we did not like the lightning to kill the trees. But second of all, we had already lost 2 ham radios. Michael, you want to tell them about the ham radio?
Well, we lost 2 ham radios, and we lost 1 ham radio, got it fixed, and then we had another lightning storm and lost another one.
And that one we had disconnected from everything.
I had everything disconnected but the ground rod.
The ground wire was the only thing.
And
I had a good ground.
We had a good ground system here. We had, I don't know, I think 3 or 4 ground rods down with good heavy duty single copper wire coming back to the ground bus, and it shouldn't have ever gotten hit.
And it
so
got,
I think it is.
Yeah, but it got fried. It fried the radio, so there's only one way. It had to come up the ground wire. Then we started thinking and calculating. Now, why is lightning hitting in this mountain? You know, it actually came in the house too, up the ground wire and into the house. Because of a ground wire and into the house, it's supposed to be the other way around. But it was coming into the house. We lost a microwave, which God blessed us because we paid $35 for almost a brand new one. And we lost an oven another time. Same thing, paid $35 for almost a brand new oven. So we didn't lose anything, really. But we realized, hey, this stuff is coming up out of the ground and into our house and into our radio. So Michael called an expert. We'll tell him about that.
Well, I called another amateur radio. I'm an amateur radio, and that's why we had the radio. Anyway, I called him, and I said, you know, I've got great ground up here for these radios, and I keep getting knocked out. He said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, you're not going to believe, but it worked. I said, okay. He said, I've been in this business for 40 years putting up towers for radio. And he said, I quit putting ground rods on them. I quit putting grounds on them. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, how come? He said, but just because of what you just called me about. He said, I kept losing radios and servers and all kinds of equipment because of the lightning. And he said, when I did that, he said, other people around me would get hit by lightning. And I had a ground coming up to my radios, but I had insulation on the outside, and therefore about a foot or so, there's no wire in it. So he told us that. He said, you disconnect that ground, you won't have any other trouble. But anyway, David, you take over about what we did.
Well, you know when you're close to the center of a lightning strike, you know how it sounds?
It's that crackly sound.
It's that crack, you know. And we've actually seen the thermostat on the wall make a noise when we got a crack. Yeah. It would make a clacking noise, you know. We really didn't want to see this anymore, and we forbid it to lightning on this mountain anymore.
On any of the trees, the mountains, anything.
That's right. Now this is a pretty good-sized mountain. This is the biggest mountain around this area. And we forbid it, in the name of Jesus, lightning from hitting our mountain. Now, it was so regular before that, it was just common to us, right,
yeah,
Michael?
It was.
And you know what? That's been a couple of 3 years ago.
Yes, it has.
And we haven't had a lightning strike on this mountain since. So, you know, we're talking about faith for all things here, you know. I mean, we have to stretch our faith to do things that show God to be mighty. He is mighty. He's a mighty God. He's a mighty Savior. There isn't anything He can't do. When He says, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you receive them and you shall have them, He means it. He means it. We just got to try Him out, you know. Well, we had another thing that we had to forbid. In 1 year, we ended up having 4 tornadoes come at us. And it's real easy to know when that's happening here because it picks up everything in the woods and throws it up against the side of the house. And the woods aren't that close to the house. And the wind really gets to squalling and so on. One day we had 2 tornadoes. Both of them came in the dark. One of them came early, early in the morning, and one of them came late in the evening. And they both came towards our house. And before that, we'd had a couple of more. And one of the tornadoes took down a big oak tree, laid it across the driveway going down and across the lines and took the lines out. The lines didn't belong to us. They belonged to them, so they came up and fixed them freely. But we decided something's wrong here. We're being targeted. Now, I know some of you are going to laugh about that. But they can do that. They can do it. And, you know, to have 2 of them in one day follow a path up a mountain straight at your house, look, we decided, hey, this sounds like we're getting targeted. But we know somebody in high places. So we forbid tornadoes to hit this mountain anymore. Right, Michael?
That's right. We did.
And we haven't had one since. That's been several years ago. Haven't had one since. We just forbid it. No, you cannot come up here. We forbid it in the name of Jesus.
Amen. I've had a little bit experience with those tornadoes back in Arkansas, because we get them all the time out there. And I'd get back when they forecast those tornadoes. You could go out on the back deck at my house and watch the tornadoes forming up in those wall clouds. And I'd go out there and I'd say, in the name of Jesus, all of these tornadoes go around this area here. You're not to affect my children, my house, or any of my friends' house. And you know what happened? They wouldn't land anywhere around that region there, but they went all around. They tore up schoolhouses, tore up cities, tore up everything but our place there.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I remember back in Pensacola, we had a dream that we were looking out our picture window and we saw a tornado coming at the house, and we rebuked it, and it jumped over the house. Well, about a week or two later, guess what happened? There was a tornado that came down through that subdivision and just cut a rut all the way down through that subdivision, and it came right up to our house, and it jumped over our house. And it landed in a Baskin and Robbins and blew it all to pieces. And then it kept on going. Well, you know what? We rebuked it in the name of Jesus, you know, and the Lord saved us and spared us. But thinking about that, think about this. We planned a party one day at a couple's house.
Out in the country.
Out in the country. And, of course, it looked kind of rough out there. So we prayed that no rain would come on our party that day. Well, little did we know. Again, we didn't cast our net far enough. Because we were out there having a good old time, and the kids were riding a horse out in the pasture, and some of us were out there in the pasture just, you know, looking at the
had watching, some corn planted,
watching them, had some corn out there planted and stuff like that. And I look up in the air, straight up over our head, and I'm watching a tornado form right over our head. Literally. I mean, the circulation started. There was no mistaking it whatsoever. I had never been that close to watching one start up, so I was very curious. And I was sitting there watching it, and directly some of the people around us looked up and saw it too. And one of them started rebuking it in the name of Jesus. I said, no, I want to see it. I want to see it. Let me see this. We can stop it. We'll stop it later. Okay? No. But anyway, they just kept on rebuking, so I joined in with them. We rebuked it, and guess what? That circulation broke. That thing moved over, I don't know, maybe a quarter mile, half mile over, started up again, and took off. And when it did this, we started getting hit with hail. I mean, heavy hail, not big hail. It probably wasn't bigger than a nickel. But there was a lot of it, and it was coming in a hurry, man. And we knew the tornado, of course, did this, you know. So we all took off running towards the house, you know, and there was a tent outside the house that some of us got under the tent. It was beating that thing to nothing, you know, that tent. Some people were in the house. I was outside under the tent. But, you know, we did not get any rain that day. We got hail.
About 4 inches. Right?
About 4 inches on the ground. It had cut all the green out of the trees, and there was a mixture of green mixed in with the white on the ground, and it turned about 40 degrees colder, didn't it, Mike?
It did.
Everybody noticed, wow, we had a warm day, and now we had a cold day. And it pounded the ground. It pounded everything around us. There was nothing on the ground anywhere you could see but 4 inches of hail. But that's not what we prayed for. We prayed for rain. And there was no rain in the midst of the hail. It was just hail. So the Lord answered our prayer. But sometimes you got unforeseen circumstances, and the Lord wants to show you something. He can do other things, you know. And he did. He taught us that, didn't he, Michael?
He did.
It was cool. It was real cool. Everybody was talking about that for a while. Mm-hmm. The wonders of God, you know. And, of course, he spared us, and so we didn't lose any automobile windshields or dented
Nobody
up.
Nobody got
nothing got dented up. No. Amazing. Nothing got dented up. And it was heavy hail. It was heavy.
Never seen hail that thick.
You know, when Michael was the first to move into this house here, and then there was another guy here and his wife, and they invited me after we left out of the local city over here, where a mighty miracle had happened there too. Maybe I'll tell you about that one day. But so I knew I was coming up here. I was invited to come up here, so I came up here. And when I came up here, the first bill we got, right, Michael?
Well, this is the first bill after the couple left.
Yeah, after this couple left.
We'd been here for a while, but the first bill that we got as the new leaseholders,
yeah,
was this bill he's fixing to tell you about.
Well, it was a 10,000-gallon water bill.
That's one that'll open your eyes up, you see?
See, you see, from where our house is on the top of this mountain to the meter, it's about a quarter of a mile. It goes all the way down the mountain, goes across the neighbor's pasture, goes over to another road entirely. I mean, that's just the way they do things here.
Matter of fact, we're farther up the hill than the water tower. We have to pump our water from down below the hill up to here.
That's
how high we are.
That's right. And so we, 10,000-gallon water bill. Well, the owner, of course, took care of that bill, and so. The real estate guy that was renting the house to us, he said, well, go out there and find out where that leak is. And I said, well, you know, we're just renters. We really don't know much about that. We have walked it. We can't see anything. The city people came out and with their instrument, and they couldn't find the leak. You know, they got instruments you can point at the ground, and if there's a leak, it can hear it, pick it up going through the ground. So they couldn't find it. The guy said, well, I guess you're just going to have to move out of the house. So, okay. So I come back home, and we thought about that, me and Michael, and we decided there's a better way to do this. I had an education with Bob Accardi's swimming pool where he came to our meeting, and he said, David, I'm losing a lot of water out of my swimming pool. It drops so much every day, And I can't find the leak. I don't know where it is or nothing. And I said, well, Bob, let's just bind that leak in the name of Jesus. Let's just forbid it to leak in the name of Jesus. So I prayed the prayer. I said, in the name of Jesus, I forbid water to leak out of that pool in Jesus' name. I said, now, Bob, go over there and get a mark on the side of that pool because you're not going to lose one more little bit of that water. So you have to confess this before men, So he did that. He got a mark of where the water was, and it never went down again. For a solid year, it never went down. Bob had a guy out there to look at the pump one day, and the man said, did you know you've got a hole in the size of your pool, a large hole? And I think it was something like maybe a 3/4-inch hole in the side of your liner. And where it was behind the pads that stick out behind the ladder. And the ladder had actually pushed a hole, poked a nice round hole in the liner. And the hole was there, and the hole was open, and it wasn't leaking.
That's God. That's the only way that could happen.
Yeah, that's God. That's the only way that could happen, Amen to that. So anyway, I thought about that when we thought about this water leak. That's a tremendous water leak. My goodness, And we wanted to stay in the house because we love it up here,
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
animals here that we like the wildlife. We're, away from everything, and it's very nice. I like it.
Well,
And best of all, it's cheap. Now, you believe that or not, it's cheap. So anyway, we just loved it. And so we just decided, well, okay, we're going to forbid that to leak anymore in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And we did. We forbid it to leak anymore in the name of Jesus.
Yep. And David was telling me about Bob Accardi, and the thought came to my mind. I had a deal similar to that in my shop. I had a leak. It was wintertime, but I had this job, and I'd get up 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and go to this job. And I'd go out in the shop, and I'd have to squeegee the water out of the floor. And I got tired of doing that. And one morning, I came out there, and I squeegeed it all out, and I said, in the name of Jesus, you will not leak another drop. And you know, it never leaked another drop from that point on until I moved out here. And as soon as I moved out here, it started leaking again. So God is good.
Oh, yes.
That's our experience with that, man. David, tell them what we did.
Well, I went to the place where we pay our bill, and I saw the real estate guy there that was renting us the house. And I told him, well, we ain't going to have no more problems with that water leak. He says, well, what did you do? Did you find it? I said, no, we didn't. We commanded it to stop leaking in the name of Jesus. And he looked at me and he said, I never heard of Jesus doing anything like that. I said, well, you have now.
Because we didn't get another bill.
Well, the next bill was a normal bill. I mean, he was slapped right in the face with it, you know. Okay, nothing you can do about that. Nope. God did it, you know. God is so good.
He is so good, I'm telling you. For those who believe.
Yeah.
For those who believe. Don't put him in a box, y'all, because he can do anything.
Oh, gosh. Michael, tell him about the three miracle day we had.
Oh, yeah. Good gracious. That was, we all were living over at another town over. And we get up, we lived in this great big house. There was eight or nine of us living in that house that belonged to UBM. We were all renting rooms and stuff. And we get up in the mornings and we pray, just like we do here now. We started over there. We get up and we pray. And David would come over and pray with us. And that morning, the Lord told one of the sisters, I believe it was Sandy, that there was going to be a three miracle day that day. Three miracles that God was going to perform that day. So, okay, praise God. That's what's going to happen, you know. Well, lo and behold, just a little bit after she got that, one of the brothers, young brothers, came down who had been kind of backsliding. And he was crying and he was throwing snot everywhere. And he was repenting. And God had taken him to hell and showed him what he was doing was going to take him right there if he didn't change his ways. And he repented. Miracle number one. That's miracle number one. And then we had a lady there that had a sciatic nerve in her leg that was bothering her. I guess that's the way you pronounce it, isn't it?
Sciatic.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was paining her. And she'd had
all of her life.
All of her life. That's what I was going to say. Yeah, it pained her all of her life. And so we prayed that away. And then after a few moments, she said, well, it's gone.
Ooh.
It's gone. Ooh. I don't have it anymore. You know. So we praise God for that. Miracle number two. Okay, well, we got through with their prayer meeting. And then David and I and some other guys had to get the tractor over to another town. So we loaded up one of the brother's truck with my trailer. I hooked his trailer up. He backed it up there, and I put it on his ball and got it all hooked up. David loaded up the tractor. And anyway, David, you take over from there because I stayed at home that day.
The amazing thing, the square hitch up in the receiver, and usually there's a 16th of an inch clearance around there. They're actually kind of loose in there. There's nothing really holds them in there. When one of the brothers stuck the hitch up in there, he forgot to put the pin in.
That holds the receiver hitch in the hole.
That holds it in the back of
the truck, yeah.
And he forgot to put it in there. So he shoved it up in there. And Michael was bringing the trailer. So Michael figured, okay, it's okay. So he just dropped the hitch down on the ball and clamped her down with the tractor up on the trailer, which is a pretty big miracle in itself. How are you going to get it up on the trailer when the hitch isn't got a pin holding it to the truck, you know? So, now this is a great big old house, and it's like a hotel, I would say. Lots of people were living there, and so, but it was it was down probably 6 foot below the road.
Below the street surface, yeah.
So we're pulling up to the road, and we got to pull sharply up to get on the road. So we're pulling this trailer with a tractor on it with a hitch that's loose in the socket.
That I don't
no
have.
Pin holding
no pin,
it.
Yeah.
Pulled it up, you know, strained the truck, pulling the rascal up on the road now. Listen to me. And then after we got it up on the road, we had to go up and down mountains, up and down mountains, up and down mountains, all the way over to the next city. And there was a lot behind the Walmart there that we were going to load up a load of chips. And that's why we brought the tractor there. So, I mean, I'm following behind the truck. I forget who, I don't remember who was driving the truck. But anyway, they were driving the truck over there. I was behind the truck. There was a few cars in between us going up and down the hills. But I could see them up there ahead of me going up and down the hills, you know, all this way. Pulled up behind the Walmart over there to this lot. Pulled it up in the lot. And as soon as they got squared around, I pulled up in there. When I pulled up in there, I was looking at the trailer, and suddenly, I mean, they had backed the tractor up just a little bit on the trailer to get ready to take it off. And I was looking at the trailer, and all of a sudden, the tongue on the trailer flew up in the air with that little piece of the hitch on there.
With the ball and the hitch.
With the ball and the hitch on there. And it stuck straight up, you know, like that in the air. And I said, what happened? What could this be, man? I ran over there and looked at it, and I looked at the hitch, and I looked down bottom, no pin. No pin there. No pin on the ground. And the guy that actually should have put the pin in there, he was trying to blame Michael because Michael hooked up the trailer. But, you know, you think if somebody's going to put the hitch up in there, they're going to put the pin in there, and he did not do it. And but his mind was so...
Well, he had a spirit of rejection.
He had a spirit of rejection. He had to prove it wasn't him. And he wasn't paying any attention to the awesome miracle that just happened.
Oh, what a
It's kind of like Balaam, you know, when Balaam was talking to the donkey and didn't realize he was talking to a donkey, you know, for goodness sake, you know. And anyway, so we figured out what happened, and God had to have an angel there holding that thing in there. Because there's no way in God's green earth this could have happened naturally speaking.
David called me. I was still over at the other house. David called me, and this is what's funny. He said, you don't believe what happened. I said, well, tell me. He said, the trailer with the tractor on it is sitting straight up with the hitch in and the ball on the trailer. And it didn't register what he was talking about. I said, what are you talking about? He said, the hitch came out of the truck. There was no hitch pin in it.
After we stopped.
After he stopped at where they were headed. I said, you got to be kidding me. That thing shouldn't have made it out of the yard. He said, I know. He said, not only that, we went up and down all of those hills, and then to go into that lot, you had to go up a little bit of a hill to get in there. It was just an absolute bona fide miracle.
And the Lord told us we were going to get three, and that was the
third
one.
That was number three right there. So that was awesome.
And we've had a lot of fun. I mean, you know, putting our faith together and things. I remember one time, the guy that moved out of the house kept falling into faction. We'd pray for him, and he'd get delivered for a while, and then he'd fall back into it. And he commented one time about why his dogs didn't want to stay up here on this mountain with him. And I've actually had them leave him and come and go up the stairs and get under my feet, just whimpering, you know, because they didn't want to be around him. And I saw when I got here something that Michael had seen while he was here. There was no animals on the top of this mountain. Not only was there no animals, there was no birds on the top of this mountain. There was no squirrels on the top of this mountain. There was no animals.
None.
Now, we immediately connected it to this man that was possessed with demons. And the demons were just frightening the animals off. So we figured that out. So when this guy left, And, you know, he asked us, what's wrong with my dogs? Why didn't they want to stay? We didn't answer him, but we knew what the problem was, but we didn't answer him. It would have just caused an argument, so we didn't want to. So when me and Michael realized, okay, now we can call the animals back. So when he left, that's what we did. We commanded all the animals to come back. And there is deer here, and there are coons here, and there are hogs here, and there are turkey here, and there's bunny rabbits here, and there's, you know, just a lot of and birds here. All of that came. All that came when we did that. Yep. And we planted gardens now, and these rabbits were all over the yard, and they wouldn't go in our garden. And after a while, God just shooed them on off, and they didn't come back because we kept planting gardens. Okay? But the animals came back. Okay. We had one problem with this. Well, we had more than one problem, but we had one problem. One of the problems, actually, is the coons love, we have a wraparound porch here, and they'd love to get up on that porch and gallop down that porch and run around the back of the building and look through the glass window at us and stuff like that, you know. We actually raised fish out there for a while, and they'd love to get up there and take that thing apart and look and try to figure a way to get down in there into them fish. They were just loving it. They were having a good old time, you know. That wasn't a big problem. The big problem was the hogs would come into the yard and start rooting up the yard. And so we prayed against it. We commanded it to stop in the name of Jesus. So when we did this, my bed was right up against the north wall of the house here. And in the middle of the night, I hear a bunch of pigs squealing in the middle of the night. So I come running out of my room, and I hollered up at Michael and said, "Michael, there's a bunch of pigs out there." So Michael grabbed his 22, and we went out back to see if we could get some bacon.
That's all we can think about, bacon laying all over the yard.
So by the time we cleared the corner of the building, I saw the last of the pigs running up the hill and turned around and looked to see what they were running from. And me and Michael saw a big old coon, I mean a big old coon, in the middle of the yard. He was the king of the mountain.
Sitting there grinning at
him. He had run them hogs off.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what we had commanded to happen, you know. God chose to use a coon to do it, you know. And them coons, those hogs didn't come back for 3 months, three or four months.
Yeah.
They didn't come back. And the amazing thing was, when they came back, the coon came back.
He sure did.
He was a very territorial coon. And he run them off again. And now we ain't had that much trouble in a long time with them. But, you know, God can use anything. You know, I mean, we had a problem, another problem. Michael, tell them about the cabbage moss.
Well, you know, we had some cabbage planted out in our little garden and some, just all kinds of cabbage products, Brussels sprouts, broccoli, and the cabbage moths were just terrible up on this hill. So David and I got the bright idea, we're just going to let the Lord handle that, you know, and so we prayed, "Lord, help us get rid of these cabbage moths." One day we're sitting out there and was looking up on the gutter. And there was two birds up there. I'd never seen them before. I never even knew that they existed.
We had to look them up.
And there was two phoebe birds. And we'd watch them, and they do just like a hummingbird. They'd come down, they'd swoop down. Stop in midair, snatch that cabbage moth out, and eat it. and they took care of our cabbage moths.
And they were fast. Cabbage moths are fast, too.
Yeah, not like these boys.
You can't run around and grab them. You
know? No. But we started out with two. We've got a yard full of them now.
And you know what they do? They park out over our garden. The one in the garden in the front, the garden in the back. You can go in the back. They like to sit on the dish back there and watch the garden. Anything moves, they're going to get it.
That's right.
And out front, they sit up there on the gutter. And they're just waiting. You know, anything moves in that garden up there, they'll get it. It's theirs.
Snatch it out of there.
So you couldn't have thought up a way that God could do what He did. You know, it was just awesome. It was an awesome miracle. And you know, and that's another miracle. You know, our garden. We prayed over our garden that God would give us a miraculous garden. And let me tell you, when we tell people this, we got the pictures to back it up.
Yep.
We had cabbage heads that were 18 inches across. When you held it up right in front of your chest, it went from the outside of one shoulder to the outside of another shoulder, of the other shoulder. And we had a bunch of them. The leaves went out between 4 and 5 feet across. When we had our meetings in the morning, people would tear one leaf off, take it home with them, and make some cabbage. Because a lot of people don't know that. If you buy them in the store, you think that's the only place you can get is on the head, but the leaf is just as good as the head. Okay? So, and this was, let's see, how many of them did we have? We had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, what, 7 or 8 of them? 7?
Yeah.
Monster cabbage heads.
Monster cabbage head. I tell you what, they'd fill up a number 2 wash tub overflowing.
If you tried to put them in your kitchen sink, they would not go in. No. They wouldn't even go past the top of it. They would cover the thing up. They would not go down in your sink. We had one little plot of ground back there where we planted squash. We had 55 squash in that small plot of ground.
Butternut squash.
And we had, they grew, they made a crop, the vine died, more vines grew out, and they grew again.
Yep.
Right?
Yep, I did.
That was the amazing thing.
2 crops out of them.
2 crops. We, in another garden, behind another brother's house, we have a pretty good long garden there, we planted these pink banana squash. We had pink banana squash 3 feet long. And they were big around as a watermelon. And we also planted Australian squash, which is a round green squash, too close to the pink banana squash. It was an accident that was planned by God. Because when they crossed, they made it wasn't quite as long as the pink banana, 3 foot long, but it was twice as big around. And it was heavy when you picked up on this thing. It was totally full of meat. It was amazing how many gallons we got out of one of these things. Gallons, you know, gallon bags. When you cut them up in little cubes and fill the gallon bags up. It was astounding. I forget how many we got, but it was a bunch of them out of just one of those things. And the thing was, they lasted twice as long as the pink banana squash. We had them around more than a year later, right,
yep.
Michael?
Yep.
Kept them in a cool, dry place. More than a year later, we were cutting into those things and cooking with them. And I don't know if you ever ate pink banana squash, but it's my favorite squash. I mean, you can make
You can make a pumpkin pie out of that stuff.
Better than a pumpkin. It's creamy. It's smooth. It's not grainy. And it tastes good just like it is. You can eat it just like it is. Or you can cook it. Or you can throw it into anything, actually.
Yeah. Use it in soups.
Just amazing stuff the Lord did for us. But that crossover, we saved the seeds from that. That is an amazing thing there.
Amen. Sure was.
We had onions that were, well, one sister pulled an onion out and stood it up next to her. She was 5'2", and she was holding the ball of the onion up above her head, and the top of the onion was dragging the ground. She was 5'2". She was a short person, but that was a big onion. So we had a bunch of onions that way because The Lord blessed. We prayed. People ask us, why did this happen? Well, we prayed. We asked for a supernatural growth. We had red potatoes. You know how big red potatoes normally get, right? Not all that big. They're not near as big as white tomatoes. We had them 12 and a half inches around, 8.5 inches long. We had...
not just one of them. We're talking about multiple.
Yeah. We had big tomatoes. And we had big peppers.
Big, those golden Yukon potatoes that don't really get that big. They got huge.
They got huge, too. And remember the peppers. And
We
had so many tomatoes, we couldn't keep up. We were giving them away. And so many nice, big, big tomatoes, monster tomatoes. They were dying on the vine because we couldn't eat them fast enough. And the peppers, too, Mike.
Well, the peppers were, you couldn't put one in both your hands full. The bell peppers were that big. They were huge. The tomato plants we had out here in front of the house, we had to double them over. We didn't have we had gone straight up with them, they'd have been somewhere around 15, 20 foot high. That is how long, remember?
Yes. They went up one side. We bracketed them up, going up one side. Yep. They went across the box. We had boxes. We had
four-foot wide box. And then back down.
And they went back down the other side, and they were putting out.
Ooh,
and
then, my goodness.
And at the garden over at the Shaw's, oh, my goodness, man, they were everywhere. We could not keep up with them. The Lord just did awesome miracles. So, you know, you can believe God. He can do things that you can't do. It's just impossible. Listen, we had, as big as those cabbages were, just a little bit smaller than that. Now, you just might not believe me on this, but we had romaine lettuce that spread out and got almost as big as those cabbages did. I'm talking about on the leaf part. And they were at least 3 to 4 times the size you can find in a store. We had big butter crunch lettuce that just spread out.
Big old heads of butter crunch lettuce. And we couldn't pick the whole thing. We couldn't eat the whole thing in one sitting.
Never.
We had to just pick the leaves off of it and take it back in there. I tell you what, we'd all summer long like that.
Like the cabbage, we were just pulling leaves. Yep. We didn't even bother with the head until the end, and then we harvested them. But
yeah,
I
don't know how many gallons of sauerkraut we made out of those cabbage things too.
Absolutely,
it's just wild what God was doing with us. That big spinach, we had spinach out there probably a couple of feet across in places. That we just pull the leaves off of, use the leaf. We'd use spinach for our salads. Remember?
And the spinach was around next year. Remember that?
It went through the winter for us.
The kale did too. Went through the winter for us. The kale was big too.
Yeah, we had big old broccoli heads, 12, 14 inches across. It was an amazing, amazing garden. Y'all have heard, most of you heard of that Alamogordo story. That when they started praying and people started getting saved, that whole town got saved, that their all of their vegetable crops just went out the roof.
It was converting people.
It was, yes, absolutely. That's kind of what we had here.
We had a guy that had some property over from us. He come up here with a friend on four-wheeler, and he come up. I heard him when he was driving up. He drove up through the woods and came out by the house, and I talked to him for a minute. I said, hey, walk around here on this side of the porch. I want to show you something. Walked around there. I pointed out them cabbages out there. Their eyes popped out of their head. That's better than nothing like that before. You know, I said, you know what? God did that.
Well, over at Sandy and Jeff's, the next door neighbor over there, he saw us when we first went out there, started making the garden. You know, we're putting compost on it. We're doing this. We're doing that.
And he was an expert, right?
Oh, he'd been doing it for 100 years in his yard, you know. And he knew what he was doing.
Uh-huh.
But before the summer was out, he come over and he had to repent. He said, I just never would have believed what was happening here if I hadn't seen it with my own eyes. He said, you guys know what you're doing.
He said, no, we really do.
He just said, well, God knows what he's doing.
Yeah, that's right. He said, I've never seen anything like this in my life. Yeah. And that's what he said. It's cool. It was a good witness to God, you know, of his greatness towards us, you know.
And that's just a half. That's not even a half of what the things that God has shown us over the years here. It's just awesome, awesome thing.
Yeah, remember the resurrection we had at our morning meeting?
Yes, I do. I don't have.
Yeah.
That was amazing. Tell us about that, David. You were the one who took the call.
Well, we were having our morning prayer meeting, and there was a circle around the room there, you know. And God calls me on the phone. He's very apologetic. He says, I'm sorry to bother you. He was a UBM person and got our phone number. And he called me and he said, I just woke up. I turned and looked at my wife, and she's dead. And she's evidently been dead a long time because she's totally cold. And I said, well, lay your hands on her, and we're going to command her to come back. So he said, okay. So he laid his hands on her, and I started commanding. Everybody was agreeing with me around the room. You know, I commanded her to come back in the name of Jesus. And, you know, after about a moment or so, he said, well, she's breathing. like just matter of fact, you know, well, she's breathing. I says, okay, well, take care of your wife, you know, and that was the end of that, you know.
Praise God.
And we had another situation that was similar to that. We were called by a brother that his wife had died, and he had also called the EMS people. And so we had our hands full, but we started putting down everything we had to take off and, you know, change our clothes and take off and go over there. And we did. And she had been dead about 45 minutes.
Probably, yeah.
When we got there. And so Michael was outside, and also Sue Gilbert was outside.
Yeah, Sue was there.
Praying. I was inside. Praying and commanding the lady to come back in the name of Jesus. And I waited a few minutes. I'd do it again, you know, come back in the name of Jesus. We command it in Jesus' name, you know. And the EMS people came in there while I was doing that. And after a few minutes, I could see I was making them a little nervous. So I told the husband, I said, I'm going to walk over here in this next room. I'm going to keep on commanding, you know. And so he said, okay, and he was kind of frantic. And so the EMS, you know, they, I'll just tell you what they don't do. They don't try to resurrect anybody that's been dead that long, because you got somebody's brain dead, there's no way to bring them back. There's just nothing you can do for them. And so they're running around checking things. They don't use the paddles. They're not going to try that. They don't do that when somebody's been gone that long. And so they finally, just kind of shrugged their shoulders and picked the lady up and carried her out in the ambulance. They said they were going to meet us over at
a local hospital
here. And so, Michael's there with me at that time. We both, you know, all decided to get in a car and meet them over there. And as we got in the car and drove just a little ways, they called us. From the ambulance, they said, she has come alive, and we're not taking her there no more. We're going up to this big hospital up here. So we turned, and we went towards the larger hospital.
Did that airlift her from over there, or did they run the ambulance over there?
They were airlifting her.
Yeah.
They were meeting a helicopter to airlift her over there to the large hospital. And so when we went there, what happened was the guy that was the EMS guy that was there working on her, he came up there and he told the nurses, he said, I've been doing this for 21 years. the nurses came and told us the whole story. You know, he said to them, I've been doing this for 21 years. I've never seen anybody come back from the dead when we didn't do our procedure on them. He admitted they did not do their procedure to bring her back because they don't want a brain dead person. I mean, if they could bring them back, they'd be brain dead after 45 minutes. In fact, after about 5 minutes, your brain is deteriorated, you know. And so God brought her back, and this guy was bragging on it, and he'd never seen anything like that. Then come to find out that Jeff knew this man because Jeff is in the home care.
Yeah, nursing home.
Nursing home business, and he had met this guy before. And he talked to him, and he told him the whole story. He said, yep, I've never seen that happen. Never seen it.
Amen.
So you know what? God is awesome. He's awesome. There's nothing beyond him. Our problem is between our ears.
That's
our
right.
big problem right there. You
Absolutely.
Know, we got to become as a child. That there's just nothing God can't do. You know, here about a few months back, there was a sister that had called me. I think this is the second time she called me. And she had a lot of demons and a lot of problems. And she had picked up most of it in churches. I'm just going to tell you the truth. She said, I went to this place and they prayed over me. And this is what happened and that's what happened. And she had demons. I mean, a bunch of them. And just tormenting her, you know. And so, I was sitting there. You know, it was over the phone that she was talking to me, and I was sitting in my chair with my Bible in my lap. And I was, you know, taking them out one at a time, and they were saying, well, we don't have to go because she did this and she did that. And so the sister immediately spoke up. She says, well, I repent of that. I mean, it was just one thing after another. They said, well, she did this. They were trying to give a reason why they had a right to stay. And they were very vocal. And you know, when they would speak up, she'd speak up too. Oh, yeah, but I repent. You know, and she would just confess her forgiveness for so-and-so. It was just a wonderful thing. So I finally decided, I'm tired of messing with these things. I said, what's your name? Legion?
Whoa.
I said, well, I don't know about that. I took my Bible. I flipped my Bible open blindly, stuck my finger down on Legion. So if you don't believe in that, you might as well change your mind because you're not going to change my mind. You know, yeah. Stuck my finger down on Legion. I said, okay, he's telling the truth. So we commanded Legion out, and it was a lot easier to get Legion out than it was to get them out one at a time.
Absolutely. Amen.
So, how much time we got left, Michael?
Oh, we got another hour.
Oh, cool. Okay. Well, I'll tell you another awesome time I had with deliverance. We had a sister who we knew, who we all loved, and she had prayed for her husband for years that he would get saved. And he was just a pretty good husband, but he just wasn't saved, you know. And one day, she called me. I don't know. How far away were they? You went there, didn't you?
Yeah.
How far away? It was many miles.
Oh, it's probably 350, 400 miles.
Yeah, miles away. So one day, he was feeling real bad, and he thought he was dying, and actually, he was dying. And she was a very prophetic person, and she felt the Lord wanted him to call me. So he called me. And so we were talking over the phone, and he had a bunch of demons too. So I commenced to preach the gospel to him and found a little bit of resistance there, so I started commanding the demons to come out of him. And when I would command demons out of him, she was over there watching, you see. She saw what was going on, and she said, those things were throwing him all around the room like a rag doll. Just every time I'd command a demon to come out, he'd be thrown over here, and then he'd get thrown over there, and he'd get thrown. So I'm thinking the guy was getting the revelation that, oh, these demons are real.
He was thrashing him pretty good.
So I began to, so after we did that, I began to talk to him real quick about salvation and how great salvation is and what the, how the Lord paid the price for us to be saved and so on and so forth, you know. And he was listening, and I asked him questions. Do you believe this? Yes, I believe it. And on and on and on. And when we got through, I just knew the guy was royally saved and delivered, you know. And his wife did too. And he told his wife, he said, "Well, kiss me goodbye, darling. I'm going."
Yeah, he did.
She said, "You ain't going nowhere." He said, "Well, I am."
Oh, yes, I am.
And right then, he went.
Went straight home.
Moments to spare. Got saved, and moments later, he was gone.
Boy, awesome.
You know, isn't God awesome? She prayed, and she was believing God, that God was going to save him. And he did at the last minute. Got all the demons out. So you ain't got no problems out there with your husband, ma'am, and you with your wife. And yes, we're running out of time. That's true. But you know how long it takes? Not very long. You just keep on believing because God can do it.
He can do it.
Right, Michael?
He can do it. I've seen him do it.
He is an almighty Savior.
Yeah.
He is a deliverer from anything and everything. And but we got to have the mind of a child, right? We got to have faith as a child, you know,
amen,
who trusts in their father, right? And when we do that, there's nothing can stop God. I'm looking forward. I think that these miracles that we're talking to you about are minor compared to what's coming down the road.
Ooh, good gracious, yeah.
We had 3 resurrections in 3 years mm-hmm. here. Yeah. And I had 1 resurrection before that, you know. And this is going to be common in the days ahead. We've been talking a lot about the plagues that are coming. Let me tell you, you be ready. Because if you believe this, I mean, this was just like healing. When Jesus sent his disciples out, resurrection was just one other thing besides healing and deliverance and all that. It wasn't nothing special. And you keep believing because you're going to be around some people and God's going to tell you, "I want that one resurrected right there." And you're going to go over there and command them to come back and they're going to come back.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. And there'll be people, there's going to be a lot of dead people from this plague that's been, that's being started right now in different parts of the world. But let me tell you, it's all coming here. And God has said it's going to be bad, but it's going to be good for the church. That's what he's told us. And so you be ready because the Lord's got some of those people, they're going to come back because God's not through with them. You know why? Because somebody's holding on to them for their salvation. And some of them are not even going to be saved people. And they got to come back because that person won't turn loose. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, just be ready to be used of God in anything. And these miracles, they're not just for us to glory in and gloat in. You know, these are for people to understand that God loves them. He is a big God. He can do anything they need. My God shall supply your every need according to his riches in glory. Right? My God. Is that your God? I hope so. I'm sure there's some folks out there that don't know about this God. But you see, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. He still resurrects the dead. He still makes great big whatever, fruit, vegetables. He still delivers people from Legion, you know. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's a sad thing that religious leaders have made him into somebody that does not exist. And when you're believing in a God that does not exist, what do you get? Nothing. If you're believing in the God of the Bible, that's a whole different situation. And because he's just as big then as he is now. And he said, greater works than these shall you do because I go to the Father. Greater works? Yes. Are you saying, David, you can do greater works than Jesus? I'm saying Jesus can do greater works through me than he did through that first body.
Amen.
Because it's still Jesus doing it. It's still him. The only thing is, the Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? If you don't agree that Jesus can do this through you, can make you holy, can deliver you from any kind of circumstance, can heal your body, can cast out demons, can resurrect your dead body. Do you believe in that Jesus? That's the whole point. Now that Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith. And that Jesus said, as you have believed, so shall it be unto you. So if you've got a small Jesus, that's all you're going to get. Do you have the big Jesus? The one that does these kinds of miracles. Now, we picked these miracles because we just wrote a book called Faith for All Things. And we thought, you know, I'll bet these miracles aren't in any of our books. So we'll put them together and share them with the brethren. And Robin can transcribe them and we can spread them out in that book with the other signs and wonders and miracles in there. Because it's faith for all things. Jesus said, all things whatsoever. Wow. What does that leave out? Nothing, right? All things whatsoever. And we have seen all kinds of signs and wonders and miracles, you know, since we've been here for the last 7 years. And before that, before coming here, lots of signs and wonders and miracles. It's a wonderful life to see the Lord, who loves his people so much, meet their needs no matter what. And what was it that spread the gospel so quickly? Some people, you know, their angle is, and I'm very glad for them, and that's very good evangelism. But what made evangelism what it was in the time of the apostles? Well, there was something different about this God. He not only could tell you what the problem was, he could fix it. And that's where we are. We got to have the living God, the living Jesus. He's not the dead Jesus on the cross. He's the living Jesus in us. How can two walk together except they be agreed? You see, if you want to walk with Jesus, you got to agree that he is who the Bible says he is. Now, I've heard people say that that Jesus passed away with the apostles, but they're liars. And the proof is he's still doing the same things he was doing back then. So that's proof, but that doesn't mean anything to them because you're not part of their religion, and that's a religious spirit that keeps them blinded, you know. But our Jesus, the real Jesus, is a miracle-working God. He is big enough to handle anything whatsoever. So we thank Father. You know, he when you're in his will, you know, if you're out of his will, first of all, you know, you're not going to have any faith. You know, but when you're in his will, you can have faith that he will do anything he wants to do. And he'll tell you what he wants to do, and then he'll do it.
That's right.
Then you just believe him, and he'll do it. Right, Michael?
I'm telling you, he'll do it. just to give you some examples of things that's happened to me. Through the years, I had a friend of mine call me one day, a guy that I had ministered to in prison that had gotten out, and he was on the road to being a good Christian, you know, and he was still learning faith. And he called me one day, he said, my van won't go in reverse. I said, all right, put your hand on it. He put your hand on the dash. I said, put your hand on the dash. And we commanded that thing to work. And to be a good vehicle for him. He was a construction guy. He built houses and things like that. And he needed his van. And so we did that. About 5 minutes later, he called back all excited. He said, it went in reverse and it's working good now. I said, well, that's God. Just remember that.
We had a brother came up here and asked me and Michael to pray over his truck because he was having to hold it in gear. And of course, when you're coming up this hill, that's a strain on you by the time you get to the top of this hill. Yeah, you know, he had to hold it in gear to get up here. And he said, well, I don't know what's wrong with it. And he said, well, I don't have any money to fix it. And I saw it. I saw the inside of the transmission. I saw the shift fork was bent. It must have got in between gears and kicked it or something, and it bent the shift fork over so that it wasn't staying in gear. And so we laid hands on the hood, commanded that shift fork to be healed in the name of Jesus, and he drove it off. And he said the next day, he said, it's perfect. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah. Amen.
Nothing wrong with it.
God makes a good mechanic.
Oh, gosh. He can do it. You don't even have to open it up.
No, you know. And, you know, just stuff like that happens every day around here. People need praying for illnesses and things like that. God healed them. It's just faith and believing.
Everybody needs to learn faith because the righteous shall live from faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him, the Lord says. So the righteous shall live from faith. It's important to God that you believe him more than you believe your eyes. Because you can't walk in the kingdom otherwise. You can't walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is walking according to God's Word, contrary to everything you see, feel, and hear. And if you're going to go by what you see, feel, and hear, you're not going to see miracles very much. But if you go by what the Word says, you know, faith is the substance of the thing hoped for while the evidence is not seen. Is not seen. It is the substance. You're giving God the substance that your miracle is made out of when you give him faith. And Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith. They had faith that he could do it, and he did. And they have faith that he can do it today. And he does. Praise the Lord. He just uses a different body. It's not the flesh profits nothing. It's the Spirit that counts. That's what Jesus said, you know. So, you know, whatever your problem is, you can go to God. You can trust him. You can believe him. You may be weak, you know, like the brother who came up here. He didn't have the money to have the transmission overhauled. So we prayed with him and God fixed it. And, you know, we were actually walking. Now, here's the thing. We were walking away from his truck after we laid our hands on the hood and just walked off. All three of us were walking off. And when we were walking off, this brother said, well, I just don't know what I'm going to do. And I just kind of looked at him and said, well, we just did it, you know. So the next day, he had to admit it. It was done.
That's what happens to us a lot of times. We believe in the prayer, but then after we get to saying things, we let the things get ahead of us. Yeah. We let them take over rather than God's Word. And that's where we mess up some. We call those things that are not as though they were. That truck is healed in Jesus' name, you know.
Yeah.
And keep on believing it. You're healed. If you're sitting there been prayed for a healing, just believe it. Just go on about your business like you heal.
Yeah.
And it'll happen. It Amen. Always does.
Amen. It's not the method, it's the faith.
It's faith.
I mean, God can use all kinds of methods. You know, he can send Phoebe birds or he can, you know, he can do all these things. But you're just believing for the end result. He can do it any way he wants to do it, you know. I will say this, that when you speak it and when you believe it, don't ever back up. It's already done. Act as though it's already done. Believe, Jesus said, you have received. It's past tense in the Greek, and it's past tense even in the received text. They have a footnote in the received text. Received. Received. Past tense. So you're believing that it was done. When you prayed it, you're believing it was done, actually 2,000 years ago when the Lord provided it. You're believing it's done. So act that way. Walk that way. If you don't talk against your miracle, don't act against your miracle. If you believe you're healed, why are you trying to heal yourself? What you're proving is you don't believe you were healed. By whose stripes ye were healed. That's what it says. So, if you walk on talking like, oh, well, I'm going to get healed one day, guess what you're going to get?
One day never comes.
That's right. Tomorrow never comes. You're to believe. Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. Believe you received them. Now, what are you going to do after you believe you've received something? You're going to enter into the rest. You're going to cease from your works. Salvation does not come in any form by your works or my works. The more works you put into it, the less God's going to put into it. That's the way it is. His power is made perfect in our weakness. If we're weak to save ourselves, He's going to save us. You'll see His power. You just have to believe for it. Believe you have received. Every time you pray, Jesus said, do this. Now, He does make a concession for people who don't have strong faith. And He teaches us the prayer of importunity, to knock and ask, you know, and to endure. But His best is Mark 11:24. Believe you have received, because then on you don't have to pray about it no more. You just need to hold fast the confession of your hope that it waver not. Right? You just hold on to it. You don't have to keep on. What could we do? We pray for enough people during the day that if we spent all that time crawling up in a hollow log or something praying for people,
waiting on the squirrel to feed me,
or praying the prayer of importunity half of the day, we'd never get nothing done.
That's right.
And we can't do it. We just pray it and go on.
Go ahead.
Well, we were called to one of the houses the other day. A little girl had received a spirit, and it was manifesting through her. And so I was praying for her, commanded it on the phone, and she was saying, well, won't you please come over here, you know? I said, well, I don't need to come over there to cast this out. But would you please come over here? So me and Michael, we went over there, okay? And we just did it because, okay, if this will help your faith, fine. But we didn't need to do that. We do it all the time over the phone. So we went over there, and the daughter wanted us to cast the spirit out. We just commanded it. We asked if she'd forgiven everybody. We, you know, asked a few questions, and we commanded it to come out. And then a few minutes later, we commanded it to come out. And a while ago, and then a while after that, we were still commanding it to come out, you know. And finally, I just said, hey, this is enough. These creatures can out-talk you. They know if you just keep on talking that they've got you, because you don't believe you have received. So I said, we're going home. And so this stubborn demon that was coming up in her throat, her mom was putting her hand on her back, and it was coming up in her throat, and then it would go back, like, okay, you're losing, see, trying to talk you into thinking, okay, we're missing it, we're losing it, you know. And I said, well, they know that we don't believe we've received, and we don't believe in our commands. So we're just commanding this thing one more time, and we're leaving. And so me and Michael walked out the front door, and guess what? That demon hit the floor. As soon as we walked out of there, as soon as we gave up, you know, any kind of self-effort, we walked out, and Mama Amber came out there and said, guess what? The demon came out. That was before we got to our truck.
We
were off the porch in the yard. We had just walked across the porch and walked out in the yard, and she said, well, the demon left.
Praise God.
And that was Lexi. Lexi got delivered. Praise God.
She sure did.
You know, it's this is the most important thing. Folks, we're going to have so many people to pray for in the days to come. You too. You're going to have so many people to pray for. You can't spend all day standing around or in your prayer closet trying to pray something to be done. That's why Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you receive. In other words, he's saying, every time you pray, believe you received, and you shall have it. That's what he said. So plainly, he does, again, make concession for people with weak faith who don't understand that, you know, in the prayer of importunity. And but that takes time, okay? So, anyway, we're running out of our 2 hours here.
Well, we've got 30 minutes.
Okay, we have 30 more minutes. That means we can talk some more, right, Michael?
Huh?
It means we can talk some more.
Yeah, we can talk some more here.
Glory to God.
You know, I was talking about healing. One time I was in this church. These two old ladies came in on, what you call those things, walkers. Both of them come in walkers. Never seen them before. And I went up there to them and I said, what's the matter, ladies? She said, oh, I got this or I got, I don't even remember what it was, but she couldn't walk like she should. I said, well, you ready for God to heal you? She said, I sure am. And so I had her sit down, and I pulled her leg. Lord had me pull her legs up, and I could see one leg was shorter than the other. So I commanded that short leg to come out. I said, now get up, you're healed. She got up, and she went to running around the church. And we didn't even have to pray for the other lady. God healed. She saw what God had done for her, and she knew she was healed too. So she got up and ran with her.
Amen.
And both of them. That's what faith does. And when you see it in action, grab it and hook on to it, and you're healed too.
Amen. And always, always make sure you've forgiven everybody.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, yes. I remember a time when I was called by Mom and Dad to pray over their teenage daughter, and that's the first thing I said to her. The daughter was just skin and bone. She had cancer, I believe, in 5 organs in her body. She was skin and bones. You didn't even know why she was still alive, really. So I was standing over her bed, and her mom and dad was standing there too, you know. And I began to explain to her, you know, what I felt was that she needed to forgive someone. And I said, you know, if you do not forgive, you are not forgiven, according to what Jesus said. And if you're not forgiven, you don't have any right to the benefits of the kingdom. I said, and Jesus said, by the way, if you don't forgive everyone, your brother from the heart, that my Father will turn you over to the tormentors until you shall pay, you know. And so I told her, I said, cancer is a tormentor. So the little girl, she caught right on to it. She turned to her mom and dad and started confessing her sins. And she started confessing her sins and saying she was so sorry for this and that and the other, you know, this stuff that had been bottled up in her, you know, and waiting for a time for release, you know. And so when she got through, I just knew she was healed. I just told her, I said, well, you're healed in the name of Jesus. You know, I command every bit of cancer to leave your body. And she was up and swimming. She loved to swim. She was doing everything that she was doing before. She was totally healed of everything. She was doing everything she used to do, you know. And one day, about, I think, a year or maybe a little more than a year after that, and this is a real good point, it's very important that you catch this, I had heard that she died. And so I asked the person, well, what in the world happened? She was totally healed. So they begin to tell me about a conversation they had with the parents. And the parents had, before I got there, they were into this, you know, healing by, you know, plants and different things.
Herbs
and so on and so forth. And these crazy parents said something like, well, isn't it awesome what herbs can do? You know, talking about the healing of her daughter. And when they did this, their daughter quickly got very bad quickly and died. And it was because they didn't give glory to God.
Well, that's an important point right there.
You know, when Herod didn't give glory to God, he was eaten up of worms and died. Right? We got to give glory to God because he's the only one that can do this. We are a vessel through whom he can speak if we agree with his word, by whose stripes you were healed. That's what he uses in us. He uses faith in his word and the authority that he has invested in us as believers. And these signs will accompany them that believe. That's the only thing you have to have those initial miraculous signs of deliverance and healing and gifts of tongues and so on and so forth. And that's all you have to do is believe. A baby Christian can do that. And for that reason, those things are mentioned there is because these are common to any believer. And all you have to do is believe. We get no credit for it because there's nothing we can physically do to bring it to pass. And God's power is made perfect in our weakness because God wants to show and prove that it's him doing it. So give credit to God. He is the Savior. He can save you from anything. He can heal you from anything. He can resurrect your dead body. And he's going to prove himself powerful in the days to come. We're going to see greater miracles than we've ever seen because of the latter rain. The glory of the latter house is greater than the glory of the former house. And when did God say he was going to do this? Hosea 6, 2 and 3, on the morning of the third day. And here we are. We're on the morning of the third thousand-year day from the coming of Jesus. And this is where he said the latter rain was going to get poured out. So keep your eyes open. We've been receiving dreams and visions about this. It's going to make what people consider to be common laymans out there running around doing miracles like Jesus did simply because they have childlike faith. And these days are coming upon us. They're almost upon us now. And these miracles that we've mentioned today are nothing compared to what God is about to do with the latter rain. See, if we did this with the former rain anointing, what's going to happen with the latter rain anointing, right? Because we're running out of time for all these people that we've believed for to come into the kingdom, for them to come into the kingdom. God's going to do wondrous signs and miracles to do this. The greatest storms and judgments in history are about to fall upon the world. And in the midst of all this weakness, you know, you're not going to be able to trust in doctors anymore because you're not going to have one. You're not going to be able to trust in banks because they won't allow you in them sooner or later. You're not going to be able to trust in anything but God. All the idols are going to fall by the side. Even your church idols are going to fall by the side. Churches are going to be abandoned when these plagues start moving through this land, because people don't like to gather in crowds when this happens. And that's a good thing, because then people are going to listen to the reformers who are about to come forth. And these reformers are, in one parable, are the man-child in the book of Revelation. And the people have to follow the man-child into the wilderness just like the early church of the Jews had to follow Moses going into the wilderness in order to get to the promised land. And so the miracles that Moses saw, the miracles that Jesus saw when he took the people into the wilderness, it's the same word, by the way, as desert in some places in the New Testament. The same miracles that Jesus did and Moses did, the man-child is going to do, except more of them because there's more people doing it. Many, many more people doing it. These reformers are going to reform the church. People are going to listen to the gospel because the gospel has power. People are going to give up their religions because the gospel has power. They listened to those disciples because of the miracles and the signs and the wonders. They knew that this was not a dead God like the one they're used to, including some of Christianity's dead gods. So, wonderful days are coming, folks. Wonderful, awesome days are coming. The power of God is going to bring them in. I remember I don't know where it is. I don't know if it's on our site. I remember a dream a person had about tremendous storm coming over the earth. And in this dream, they were told that the reason, and I believe this storm represented maybe all of these things that are coming, you know. But this storm was a prelude to children who've been prayed for, husbands and wives who've been prayed for, loved ones who've been prayed for. This storm was a prelude to that. They were going to come in a great revival at the time of this storm. This storm was bringing a great revival. And what comes with real revivals is signs and wonders and miracles. This is what comes with real revivals. Not goofy things that you see, you know, just to capture people's imagination because it's something supernatural. We've seen a couple of revivals like that, and they are worthless. They don't even convert the people. They are worthless. They don't bring people into the full gospel, into the image of Jesus Christ. This is why we're here. We are here to come into the image of Jesus Christ and carry on his work. Paul said, we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we're transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. The same image of Jesus. Now, what is it that Jesus can't do through you if he lives in you? I mean, when you look in the mirror and you see that you don't live anymore, Christ lives in you. You see this by your imagination. You accept this by faith that you don't live anymore. You were crucified with Christ. And now he lives in you, which was Paul's good confession, right? What can that Jesus, the real Jesus, not do through you? And that's the whole point. That's why people are going to get the revelation of the gospel. The real revelation of the gospel. That Jesus now lives in you. And the reason he did that is so he can evangelize the world. Praise be to God. What do you say, Michael?
I say it's all good. I tell you what, I'm getting excited of the times ahead because there's darkness in the world, but there's light in God's kingdom. Mm-hmm. And that light's going to shine brighter than it's ever shone before because of this revival that's coming. And it's going to be the faith of God's believers that brings them in. And I believe it. And I believe we're going to see some mighty miracles too because the signs and wonders always brings in revival. That with prayer. So, praise God. I'm looking forward to this day ahead.
Amen. And you know what? Somebody asked me recently, said, what is it to walk in the Spirit? What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Well, what is it to walk in the flesh? You assimilate things with your eyes, your ears, with touch, with things that happen around you. That's what moves you to walk in the flesh. You're either discouraged or you're, you know, excited. You're up, you're down, you're this way, that way. You react all the time to things. Okay? So what is it to walk in the Spirit? To walk in the Spirit is to walk with the knowledge of who lives in you. and what he does and why he does it. Because you don't do anything anymore according to assimilating with your eyes and your ears, with touch, with taste. You do things because this is what the Lord says is the truth. The truth is, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them and you shall have them. So you're walking by faith and not by sight. And when you're walking by faith, you're walking in the kingdom. That's where God rules. The proof is the miracles happen. That's where God rules. You're walking in the kingdom. You're walking in the Spirit. Okay? When you're not walking by your carnal senses, you're instead walking by your spiritual, born-again senses. Right? That's walking in the Spirit. So we have to, you have to learn to go against the natural. You have to learn to not accept what you see and feel and hear in the physical, but accept what God says and walk that way and speak that way. That's what it is to walk in the Spirit. And what makes that easy is when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of people out there listening to me. You've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you're going to be my witnesses. That's what he said. Because when power comes over you, you are a witness of Jesus Christ. They're looking at you and they're seeing Jesus do his works. You're being a witness of him. See? And that's what we need, folks. You're all of your family, all of your friends, all of these people you're praying for, they need to see the witness, the testimony, right, of the signs and the wonders of a God who loves them, wants to meet their needs. And that's coming, and that's happening. Lord, we praise you, and we thank you, Father. We ask you, Lord, to reach out and touch people that are listening today and fill them mightily with your Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now, you raise your hands up and you call upon the name of the Lord. You ask the Lord to fill you with your Holy Spirit. You raise your hands up right now. Do this.
Yes, Lord.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that your Holy Spirit fall on these brethren and fill them mightily.
Yes, Lord.
With the power of God.
Yes.
That they be a walking, talking Jesus out there.
Amen.
That the Jesus who lives in them will no longer be captive to their flesh, but will be released to do the signs, the wonders, the healings, and so on. He'll be released. Lord, we put our trust in you today. We thank you for reaching out and touching those who have honestly added their faith to ours today.
Yep.
To be filled with the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Lord, we believe it. We thank you for filling them mightily, Lord. And Lord, we can't wait till your latter rain comes. We know it's just around the corner, and we just can't wait to see you come and do the greater works through your greater body in the name of Jesus. Amen. You got a prayer for us, Michael?
Huh?
You got a prayer for us?
Yeah, Lord, I praise you, Lord, for the things that are fixing to happen and the people that are going to have that faith, that are receiving that faith right now, Lord. And they're going to see the mighty miracles of God here in the days ahead. Not only that, they're going to lead people to you, Lord, in droves. We believe that by faith, Lord, that we're going to have a wonderful revival here coming up. And Lord, I just ask and I pray that you would bless everybody out there with the great and bold faith to believe what your word said. Everything that your word says, Lord, we believe it. And Lord, I ask and I pray that you that you place it in their heart not to put you in a box. Because when they put you in a box, the miracles cease. And Lord, I thank you that this is a miracle happening bunch that is listening to us today, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that they're going to reach out and believe for the things that they've never believed for before because of these testimonies that David and I have related. They're true. We've experienced them, and they are real. God, you're real, and I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that people are going to have testimonies flowing in here from now on, and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Fill them up with your faith, Lord, in Jesus' name. He said the faith of the size of a little mustard seed. That's not very big. You can shake a mustard seed out of a salt shaker. will move mountains, folks. So don't think that you got to be some kind of a super religious person. All you got to do is believe. That's all. And trust God.
Amen.
And that's
Lord,
it.
Lord, pour out your gifts among the people that are joining us today, Lord. Pour out your gifts. Lord, through these are gifts of the ministry of Jesus.
Amen.
Because when we look in the mirror, we see Jesus. We not only, we take on His name, which is His nature, character, and authority. We have taken on His name at baptism. We've been baptized literally into the name.
Yes.
Of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the name is nature, character, and authority. And where is that? It's in Jesus. And so, that Jesus, when we look in the mirror, we see that He lives in us. Not just His holiness, but His gifts. Amen. He has given these gifts severally, even as He wills. To each and every one of you, He's given these gifts. Whether you go out and accept them, claim them, desire them earnestly, as you're commanded to do by Paul, that's another thing. But they're there for you. And these are parts of Jesus' ministry that were given to you at the cross through the reconciliation. Reconciliation means an exchange. God made an exchange of His life, Jesus' life, for your life. He nailed your sins on that cross. He gave you the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ. Now, we are ministers of the reconciliation, the Bible says. The exchange. Our job is to go out there and exchange the curse that is on people through the knowledge of the gospel and to replace it with the life of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We are ministers of the reconciliation. That's what we do. When we preach the real, true gospel, people realize that God's plan is for Jesus to live in each and every one of us to His fullest. And that includes the gifts of the Spirit so that we can minister His gifts to people around us. So we thank You, Father, for pouring out Your gifts among the brethren who have just received the Holy Spirit or those who have already received the Holy Spirit but need the gifts, Lord. We ask You to reach out and touch them and pour out Your gifts upon them right now in Jesus' name.
Thank You, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank You, Lord. Well, all right, saints. It looks like we've got a good program today. I hope you enjoyed it. Bless you. And we'll see you next time, God willing.
Amen. Bless you.